This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday in Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, it is going to be the best day ever. And not just because the weekend is basically here, you have conquered the week. Here's what we have on tap for tonight. The president apparently had a stroke mid-speech today. We'll talk about that. Why does the government, at every level, spend so much more than it takes in now? We'll talk about that. Is the GOP going to do us wrong in 2024? What's my thoughts on pre-tipping? If you're young, are you ever going to own a home? What are some debate tips? The $95 billion foreign aid bill. My goodness, we are all over the place tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I am also aware of the news today. What the news has told you is the news of the day, I guess is what I should say. Remember, we talk about this a lot on the show. I always have to be mindful of this because I'm susceptible to it just like you are, right? We're all just flesh and blood human beings. I'm susceptible to chasing the laser pointer the media is pointing on the wall for me. The media will decide in any given day that this topic is the story of the day. And they'll all start ranting and raving about it. It's on CNN. The president's talking about it. It's on this channel. It's on that channel. Then talk radio starts getting in. And then all anyone can talk about. I'm aware today that Putin's opponent in Russia died in prison. He died in a penal colony. Vladimir Putin had his political opponent arrested. And he died in a penal colony. You know, you'd never... In countries like that, situations like that, you're never going to get straight answers. We can't get straight answers from our own government. You're certainly not going to get it from a hostile government. We now have an extremely hostile relationship with Russia. You're never going to know. Was he tortured? Probably. Starved to death? Who knows? Did they just flat out shoot him in the back of the head? I don't know. That kind of thing can happen in Russia. I don't know. But I do know this. I know that the people acting outraged about it today here, they're really not. They're not. Here's what everyone has to understand about the Russia-Putin thing that the American media is obsessed with. They will find something, and they've been great at this. I want to make sure I give the communists credit for it. They will find something detestable and they will attach it to you, and then they'll rant. Whenever they rant on one or two of those things, either it's you directly or that other thing, it allows them to attack you at all times, no matter what. The American communists in the media, the Democrat Party, education, whatnot, you know, one of the ways they've done this so well is they've done white supremacy. They've attached that, mainly because of GOP weakness, they've attached that to the right wing. People will call Nazis right wingers, hard right. What? The Nazis were a socialist party. What are you talking about? They'll call any form of white supremacy in America, well, right wingers. They'll get candidate after candidate, president after president to denounce white supremacy. But you do denounce white supremacy, right? Hey, just to be clear, you don't like white supremacy? Well, what are they doing? They don't care whether you denounce it or not. They're associating something terrible with you, forcing you to talk about something awful, therefore attaching that thing to you. Then it allows them to get up and say, we've directed the FBI to attack white supremacy. The day before, they were calling you a white supremacist all day. The next day, they tell the FBI, go after white supremacists. What do you think they're doing? They've done the same thing very successfully with Russia and Vladimir Putin. I know this is not you, but your liberal Aunt Peggy, she genuinely believes that Donald Trump is a Russian asset, that he works with Vladimir Putin, that he was sitting down with the KGB, which she still thinks exists because she doesn't know any better, that he had some strategy sessions with the KGB to cheat Hillary Clinton out of an election. I know you're rolling your eyes. I know that's insane. She genuinely believes that because propaganda works. The American media found a bad guy, and they managed to attach that bad guy to Republicans, Democrats in the media. The system found the bad guy. They've attached that bad guy to Republicans. And what that gives them the freedom to do is what you see all over the place today. Attack Putin, and you are making a de facto attack on the right. Over and over and over again, you see that. What? And you've probably heard your liberal Aunt Peggy or someone in your life say this. Whenever you maybe question another $40 billion for Ukraine, where they're washing money and doing all kinds of black market things, if you even question it, what do they call you? What do they call you? Putin lover. Ah, figures. What are you, a Putin puppet? Probably work for Putin. Probably love Russia. It's a propaganda campaign. It's very effective. But just understand this. No Democrat, no media member today crying about this guy who got killed in Russia, which is terrible. I admit it. Locking up and killing your political opponent is friggin' awful. But nobody complaining about this today gives a crap about that guy. They're complaining about Putin and that guy's death because they understand every complaint about Putin because of their propaganda efforts is actually a complaint about Republicans or Trump or whatever you want to put it. So that's not the big story of the day. Something that is kind of big came out of it, though. President of the United States of America got up to speak about it today because, of course, he had to make a statement on it. And when this gets quiet, just understand I didn't pause it. And we didn't edit this. Chris, we didn't edit this, right? This is legit. This is unedited. This is the President of the United States today. Tell me this doesn't make you uncomfortable.
He said if an ally did not pay their dues, he'd encourage Russia to, quote, do whatever the hell they want. I guess I should clear my mind here a little bit and not say what I'm really thinking.
And I have to tell you, for radio, that was bad, right? It was cringeworthy. You're probably sitting there wincing, doing that. Please say something. I'm uncomfortable thing. The video of it is so much worse than the audio, and I encourage you to seek it out. He looks gone. He does. I don't have a better way to put it. He looks gone. The rate of Joe Biden's deterioration is staggering, and it is going to be the wildest political year. And I want you to put a smile on your face because it's going to be crazy and it'll be terrible and wonderful and maybe all those things mixed into one, and it's going to be nuts. But this is going to be an insane political year that you will probably remember your entire life. We have Donald Trump on trial in pretty much every city in America. The current president of the United States of America, his brain is melting into a toxic stew every single day. Is he even going to make it to election day? Are they going to put Trump in prison? It's wild. Okay, speaking of the Trump thing, before we get to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions, for some reason, you know, we did all that Fannie Willis stuff yesterday. Fannie Willis, the prosecutor in Georgia that's trying to put Trump in prison, and how bad she looked. For some reason, they rolled out her father today to do some testimony stuff. And I'm not so sure that was the best call.
I may be wrong, but I believe COVID hit in 2020. So I was asking about 2019. In 2019, did you spend any time in California?
Before COVID was even here in the United States. Remember, I lived in South Africa and I've traveled the world. I knew COVID was coming. Before I knew COVID was around before they may have announced it in 20, but in fact, I knew about it and I knew what was happening in 19.
Okay. All right. So that happened. This also happened from her father today. It's wild. It's wild how deep lies can get ingrained in your psyche so that they just become part of who you are.
Nobody believes this. You're telling me this happened in Atlanta, Georgia?
After she was sworn in on January 1 of 2021. And on or about the 3rd of February, probably 5:30 a.m. in the morning, there were people outside her house cursing and yelling and calling her the B word and the N word. And just, I mean, it was bizarre.
That's a completely made up story. Anyway, let's talk. Let's talk about, you know what? Let's talk about me and changing my stance on things. Do I do that? Have I ever done that? Have you? Should you? Before we do that, you know one thing I love, one thing I admire about a company when they have a product? I love when they let you try it first before you go all in, because it shows confidence. It shows me you're not ripping people off. Relief Factor is a drug-free, all-natural thing you take daily. And it helps with the pains of life. Necks, backs, joints, muscles, right? It helps with the daily pains of life. You take it every day, uses your body's natural response to reduce inflammation. But they don't tell you, hey, just take our word for it. I promise it works. They sell three-week kits, three-week quick start kits for $19.95. They don't even charge a lot for it. $19.95. Call them, try it. They know it works. It is so nice to have relief from the little pains and aches that plague you. Just call them. Try a three-week kit. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Let's dig into the questions and dig into them right now. Greetings, tall, balding, world-famous burger creator. Have you ever taken a strong stance on something, whether politically, religiously, or maritally? I don't think that's a word. Chris, is that a word? Martially? What? Chris, don't make up new words. You don't sound sure of yourself either. Whatever, that you convinced you to change your position on the matter. If so, what was it regarding and how did the process play out? Says his name is Justin. Okay, let's focus on politically for the time being here. Oh, yeah, I've changed my stance on things. I used to be, in my younger years, I wish this wasn't so. I'm not thrilled about this, but it is what it is. I was a big-time neocon guy. I was a young hothead and obviously really, really despised and still despise terrorism. I hate targeting innocent people. That was what always hit me so hard about radical jihad. It wasn't the religious angle of it. It was intentionally going after kids and women and old people and sick people. I mean, these people, there are so many stories out there of ISIS going into the children's wing of a hospital just to kill all the kids. Like, that's just, it was so deeply evil to me. And I wanted to kill all those people, especially in my youth. I really thought that, well, we should just go kill all those people. Let's just kill all of them. And when 9/11 happened, I was already in the Marines, right? And we were upset, as everyone was that day. That was something everyone who was alive then of a certain age certainly remembers it. They remember the anger, the pain. I mean, I just did the 9/11 memorial last time I was in the city, New York City. And it was just, it all came back to me again. It was so sad and aggravating. We were not dreading being deployed or the possibility of a war with someone. Remember, we didn't know where that war was going to be. We were dying to go. We were dying to go kill anyone who had anything to do with any of that. And so that translated into me being very much pro, hey, let's just go put boots on the ground here and boots on the ground there, and we'll go kill all these people. And that will solve the problem. But what I did not grasp at all in my youth, to my everlasting shame. What I did not fully grasp is how evil and corrupt the politicians and generals and admirals are in this country, that they didn't want what I wanted. They weren't all those congressmen and senators and presidents, Republican and Democrat, and generals and admirals. They weren't sitting around like you were on 9/11 crying as the towers went down. I never cry. My wife hates it. She says I don't have any feelings. I was sitting in my barracks room with my Marine Corps brothers as a 19, 20-year-old kid. I had tears coming down my face of rage. I was that angry. But the people who run this country were never that way. All they saw when the towers came down and all that stuff, all they saw was opportunity. And I hate that I trusted them. I hate that they squandered the lives of our troops. That's what I hate the most. Like, you hear these stories. I'm not even going to go into the Iraq stories where we would... you know what? I'm not even going to go into it. It doesn't matter. But these stories out of Afghanistan... We had our troops guarding the poppy fields. We busted. Remember that story about, I think it was a Green Beret, might be a Navy SEAL, where he was working with the Afghanis, training them, and one of the Afghanis, one of the chiefs, was ritually abusing a young boy, as is very common over there. And this SEAL or Green Beret, I'm going to screw up the name. Sorry, I'm doing this off the top of my head. He went and attacked him. He physically assaulted him, and he got in trouble for that. It was so revealing to me when we were in Iraq, and we were obviously proud, very, very proud, and you should be proud of your service if you fought over there or Afghanistan, and we were flying our flag, and we were so patriotic in America, and I remember it like it was yesterday. Like it was yesterday. I remember where we were sitting at the time when word came down from on high that we were to take down our American flags, and we were not allowed to fly our American flags anymore. You've never seen faces of betrayal like that. We were all, to a man, it wasn't a political thing, to a man, we were horrified. What do you mean take down our flag? We're United States Marines fighting for the country we love. What would take down our flag? What are we here for then? Take down our flag. I was wrong. My foreign policy proclivities back then were wrong. America was founded, and all the way up to World War II, America was a country that was founded on minding our own business, staying out of it. Go read George Washington's farewell address. That was what America always was. And we allowed these evil people who run the country to transform us into something that we're not supposed to be, and it's bankrupting us, and it's killing our young people. That's really what bothers me the most. It kills our young people. I still think about those 13 warriors we lost in Afghanistan. Remember that one beautiful young Marine, that lady? She was going to be a mom someday. She'll never be now. Those men were going to go on to be husbands and fathers, and they'll never be now. And it was for they killed those people, and they didn't have to die. Freaking drives me crazy. Put those poor people out in front of an airport, no support, whatever. That's where I've really changed. Foreign policy is where I've majorly changed. I haven't changed being pro-life, though. If anything, as I've gotten older, I've gotten more and more pro-life. And I'll be honest about what did it. I always knew about the babies and how precious a baby was and how we should protect them and nurture them. But as I started working with more pro-life groups and walking in March for Life and things like that, what really hits you so hard is you talk to women who have had abortions and regret them now. And there are many of those women out there. And remember, ladies and men, there's forgiveness and redemption. Let it go. But you talk to them and how much it has shattered them and how much they carry it with them the rest of their lives. When you give to preborn and you save a baby's life, you're saving two. You're saving mom too. You're saving her from a life of anguish, from a life of regret. 5 years from now, she'll be thinking about how she should be dropping her baby off at preschool when she doesn't have him or her anymore. $28 saves two lives. Go to preborn.com/Jesse and save a life. That buys the ultrasound that saves two lives. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I'll get back to the questions. Michael actually asked me because we were talking about the Putin and the political prisoner that just got killed, this Navalny guy, and Michael asked me, would my opinion of all this change if this guy was found to be a subversive, meaning a Russian subversive, somebody planning a coup? And that's always been Russia's story about the guy, is that the guy was planning and plotting a coup inside of Russia. Well, I don't have a strong opinion on any of this either way. You're asking, what do I think about Putin? I brought up the fact that it bothers me that they kill their political opponents. It's what bothers me about America's current system. Democrats believe in persecuting their political opponents. What if the guy was a subversive? Well, here's how I always approach these things. We're never going to know if that's true, because everyone lies at all times, especially Russians, but especially evil governments like ours and like Russia's. Everyone lies at all times. If you tell me this guy was a subversive who was plotting a coup and was going to take out Putin and the Russian government, okay, maybe that's 100% true. Maybe it is 100% true. How would I ever know that? I would never know. Every single time an evil dictator throughout history has executed his political opponents, and I mean every single time, they have claimed that the guy is a revolutionary and plotting a coup and had to be taken out for the good of the country. And you know what? Sometimes they're telling the truth. Sometimes they are. Subversives plotting a coup, trying to take out the country, and you had to stop the traitor. And sometimes they're lying. I just don't like chasing the headline of the day, whatever the latest headline of the day is. And my enemies, and I, you know, my thoughts on Russia and Putin and that stuff. I'm not one of these Putin loving guys, but the biggest threats to me and my way of life, almost all of them reside in Washington, D.C. None of them actually reside in Moscow. None of them do. We have our own government spying on us, arresting us, attacking us, destroying our dollar, and then lying about it over and over and over again, trying to tell us everything's fine.
I assume these aren't the kind of numbers that you guys want to see, an increase on the monthly, annualized, and core inflation rates.
You know what? I always look at the data picture.
Just look at the picture. We played earlier this testimony from J.D. Vance, or this whatever the speech he was giving in the Senate. I like J.D., senator from Ohio. But as you listen to this, the thing we should all be asking ourselves is, how could the people who run this country allow our manufacturing sector to be degraded to dangerous levels?
How many artillery shells do we make in a month, and how many artillery shells do the Russians make in a month? Well, we make in a month about 30,000 artillery shells. That's up from about 20,000 artillery shells a month at the beginning of the conflict. Guess how many the Russians make? They make about 25,000 artillery shells a day. So in a month, the United States, the biggest economy in the world, makes weapons at a rate per month that the Russians are able to meet in a single day. Well, one thing that suggests to me is that GDP numbers are awfully fake. If you can't produce weapons to defend your own people, then you can't pretend that your economy is as strong as you might like to think.
Russia has 25 to 30 times our capability of producing artillery shells. That's not, for me as an American citizen, that's not a story about Russia. That's a story of corruption and betrayal from within the borders of my own nation. How did the manufacturing giant of the world turn into a country who can't produce things anymore? And the things we do produce are extremely expensive. How did that happen? The people killing us do not reside in Russia. They reside within the borders of the United States of America. My big thing about all this Putin-Russia stuff today is
That is not the big story of the day. It's not. Jesse, does anybody even care that Democrats and Republicans are spending us into bankruptcy? Trump's tax cuts increased tax revenue by 33%, but spending had also increased by 50%. Instead of paying down the debt, it's actually increasing. How can this be? All right, I want to talk. Let's talk about politics at every level, not just federal, local, everything. You remember that story about Eric Adams hiring his brother to be security? Six-figure job, hires his brother. Remember that story? Look, I don't just want to pick on New York City. How many small towns across America does the city councilman, the sheriff, the city mayor end up getting busted, embezzling, taking money? I mean, you remember all the Fannie Willis stuff? Look, remember the Fannie Willis stuff from yesterday? She's a DA. She is a prosecutor in Fulton County, Georgia. She very clearly has taken gobs of taxpayer money, given them to her lover, who took her on vacations, lavish vacations, with that taxpayer money. Why does this happen in Washington, D.C.? Why, as you sit there and agonize over your power bill and your grocery bill and all these things, why do they keep spending in Washington, D.C. as if everything's fine, as if everything's going well? I'm going to read you something here. This is a very sad email. I've been sitting on it for a few days. But it goes along the lines of what we're talking about. Jesse, we've been helping out raise our grandson since he's been a baby. There was a time my son rented, but since Trump has left office, he's had to move back home with his dad and I. I don't see in the future at all where he'll be able to afford a place of his own to rent. Buying is definitely out of the question. My husband is of retirement age, and we are just getting tired. We raised two children, and I call my grandson my change of life baby. But with the cost of food, she says we eat ground venison, haven't had a steak, and I don't know when. Housing, living in Pennsylvania, and we are one of the highest paying for gasoline states. I want Trump back. We were able to save, enjoy a few treats here and there. He made a difference. We are no longer the upper middle class. We are struggling. Thanks for getting the truth out, your fan in Pennsylvania. You read that email. Now compare that with United States Senator Mitt Romney going to the Senate floor after passing a $95 billion bill that gets sent everywhere in the world but here, and listen to this.
The vote we will soon take to provide military weapons for Ukraine is the most important vote we will ever take as United States senators.
Here's how I can explain why this happens everywhere in Washington, D.C., in tiny towns, in New York City, in Fulton County, Georgia. Here's the best way I can explain it. I want you to, not yourself, because we all have an overinflated view of ourselves. I know the Oracle certainly does, but I want you to think of your brother or sister. Do you have a brother or sister? I want you to think of your brother or sister. You probably like them. Hopefully you do. Maybe you don't. And I want you to think about this. I want you to think that your brother or sister gets a brand new job. And what is that job? That job is to handle all the money that, what's a huge corporation out there? Amazon. All the money that Amazon takes in, your brother or sister has to handle it. Give me a second. I'll explain this for it. It'll help explain government corruption a little bit. Before we do that, let's talk about us and how we have to operate going forward. We have to conduct ourselves as if some of our institutions are not what they used to be. That's kind of how it works in a corrupt country like this. Our medical institutions are part of that. Our pharmaceutical institutions are most definitely part of that. No, it doesn't mean we abandon taking any medicines for anything. That's not true, but natural solutions are what we need to look for. When the testosterone crisis started to turn out to be a big story in the country as people realized we're not making enough babies, we can't even make enough babies, Chalk started to dig into a solution that was natural. Chalk sells natural herbal supplements, many, many different kinds of natural herbal supplements. That's our solution. Stop running down to the government solution and getting an injection in your arm to take care of your T levels, fellas. Start taking a male vitality stack from Chalk. CHOQ.com. Everything is on sale. Female vitality stacks and male vitality stacks and Chad Mode, which is their brand new pre-workout with all natural caffeines. Chalk.com. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. Begin. You'll feel better.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. All right. So let's go back to talk. We were talking about government corruption, and essentially the question was about spending, really. The question was, why do they spend more than they take in no matter what, even when they bring in more revenue? Why does the federal government manage to spend more? And so I kind of expanded that, and we were talking about corruption and things, but let's discuss the basics of government corruption and why this happens. So think about your brother or sister, somebody you know. And what happens is they get put in charge of Amazon's money. And this is what I mean. All the money, all the billions and billions and billions of dollars Amazon takes in. Your sister, brother, whoever it may be, they have to distribute that money to where it's supposed to go. But it passes through their hands first, and it passes through their hands in cash. Meaning every day your brother goes to work and he just has gigantic suitcases full of money that's not his, but huge suitcases full of money, hundreds and hundreds of endless stacks of money. And of course, he has to do certain things with it, or he's supposed to. Okay, Amazon has tasked me. I have to take this money and take it to this bank. Amazon's also told me with this money, I need to hire a contractor to build them a new factory here. With this amount of money, this big suitcase full of cash, I'm supposed to buy some new paper clips. Okay, but you get the idea, right? All the money is passing through your brother's hands or sister's hands. How confident are you your brother or sister would never take some of that money? Are you confident in yourself? Most people are. That's why I didn't use you. I used your brother or sister. Most people were all, yeah, I would never, right? But are you even all that confident in that? Corruption and spending and overspending in politics happens because when people take political office, wherever that political office may be, whether it's New York City City Hall, the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., your tiny town, what happens is when you take over political office, you all of a sudden have access to gobs and gobs and gobs of money that is not yours. And the truth is, it's very, very, very difficult for people to avoid abusing that money. Like, I mean, I was talking about this foreign aid bill in D.C. and how horrible this stuff was. And all these senators like the Romney types and whatnot, all voting for this. And the truth is, these senators, they get there. All of them. The House of Representatives, Democrats, Republicans, senators, all of them, when they get there, Think about the amount of money the United States government takes in. Think about the size of our economy. We have a $20 trillion economy. These guys essentially get a checkbook backed by you, the American taxpayer. It's not their money, of course. But, you know, there's a bunch of taxpayers. Either way, I just got here and somebody handed me this checkbook. And you want me to not write any checks? No, I have the checkbook. I want to write checks. I used this analogy before, and it was so brilliant that I want to use it again. What, Chris? Seriously, I used this analogy before, and it's very, very true on what's going on in Washington. This is why Democrats don't cut spending. This is why Republicans don't cut spending. This is why George Bush spent too much money. Reagan spent too much money. Obama spent too much money. Clinton spent too much money. Trump spent too much money. Biden spends too much money. The next guy, this is why. When you are having a big party in D.C. with money that isn't yours, taxpayer-funded money, you've been living it up. Think of it like this gigantic warehouse that has the best party stuff you could ever imagine, whatever you're into. You like shooting? They have a range with all the guns you can imagine. You like arcade games? It's there. You want to go bowling? You want to go swimming? It's got a water park. It's the greatest party place ever. And every time you get to Washington, D.C. as a president or senator or whatever, you get access to this place. And woo, living it up and living it up and living it up. Except this place is running on money that's all borrowed. It doesn't take in any money. It's borrowing money from you, from the taxpayer. The taxpayer is funding this big party warehouse. The problem is nobody wants to get to Washington, D.C., and get access to the party warehouse and walk in the front door of the party warehouse with the games and the guns and the fun and the bowling. Nobody wants to walk in and say, "Oh, hold up. Party is over. Turn off the music. Here's what we're going to do, guys. No more fun. We have spent too much money here. Everyone grab some paper towels and a broom and the cleaning supplies. The party has stopped because, my goodness, look at this mess from all this partying. We are not partying. We are going to clean up." Nobody wants to be that guy. You run for office, whether it be president or otherwise. You get sworn in, fancy marble. "Here's your desk, sir." "Yes, Mr. President." "Here you go, Senator. Here's a staff of 8,000 people. Here's your checkbook, sir." Nobody wants to be the guy that says, "Keep your checkbook. In fact, we need to go around and start taking away everyone else's checkbook because the American people are suffering." Nobody wants to stop it and do the cleanup. And that's what drives me crazy because of emails like the one I just read before about, "Look, we're taking in our son. We're raising our grandson. We're not making ends meet anymore. We're spending..." The normal American citizen is starting to feel it now in ways they've never felt it before. The normal American, maybe you're going through this now, is suffering. And these people, they can't put the checkbook down.
"What we will soon take to provide military weapons for Ukraine is the most important vote we will ever take as United States senators."
Mitt Romney doesn't want to clean up. No, and look, again, I don't like Mitt Romney, but that's not just him. Like I said, Democrat presidents, Republican senators, Democrat senators, nobody wants to be the guy to stop the music and turn on the lights and hand out the paper towels and stop the party warehouse. They don't want to be the guy. And the sad part is that guarantees that when cleanup time does come, because it will come eventually, it's going to be a mess. And look, that's why I tell you to invest in hard assets. Hard assets. Because when these people pop that bubble, it's going to pop big. Get a hold of Done For You Real Estate. This is for that normal person who's trying to find what to do right now because everything's uncertain. This is not real estate investing for millionaires and billionaires. This is for plumbers and teachers, for normal people. The guys at Done For You Real Estate genuinely care. I've read you how many testimonials on this show of people who get a hold of them. Even if you don't end up working with them, you'll know they care. They'll handle everything for you, the rental process, the closing, the financing. They handle it all for you. It's spoon-fed for you, for normal people to start getting houses out there, start acquiring real estate so you can retire one day without going bankrupt. DoneForYouJesse.com. DoneForYouJesse.com. Let them help you. They will help you, all right? All right. How do I rate our chances in 2024? Pre-tipping. Are you ever going to own a home if you're young? My favorite airport. My gosh, we have so much we're going to get to. Buckle up.
This is an iHeart podcast.